You may be seated. So today we are going to take a look at a book of the Bible we don't look at too much. And as you can see up on the screen, it's the book of Habakkuk. So, you know, it's a good thing my wife Zara and I didn't have any boys because this was my number one boy name. I mean, Habakkuk Hedke has a good ring to it, right? No, I don't think she would have went for it. So who is Habakkuk exactly? Well, Habakkuk was a prophet in Judah. So remember, at this time, this was around 605 BC. At this time, the kingdom of Israel was split. So the northern kingdom, that was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. And remember, Judah is the line that Jesus was going to come from. And so Habakkuk was a prophet to the people in Judah. And he prophesied around the same time as other prophets like Zephaniah and Jeremiah, who's more popular. His book's a lot longer in the Bible. And Habakkuk is a unique prophet because he doesn't record in his book that we have here a direct message to God's people like the rest of the prophets did. But what Habakkuk does do is he recorded a conversation that he had with God. It's only 3 chapters long. And so there is a lot going on at this time in 605 BC in Habakkuk's world. So never mind the fact that the kingdom is split, but the people are neglecting God's word. There's violence, there's injustice, and there is corrupt leadership going on in Judah. And, you know, it's a good thing those things don't happen nowadays, right? But, so Habakkuk is speaking to God, and this is what he is recording, and on behalf of the faithful people that are in Judah. And Habakkuk has some complaints for God. So let's take a look at this here in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. So Habakkuk's first complaint to God is, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? So Habakkuk wants to know and even demands from God how long it's going to take God to deal with all the evil and wrongdoing that is going on in Judah. So my question for you is, do you ever wish you could ask God some tough questions? Questions that really bother you about life? Or maybe you do already. You see, Habakkuk is at his wit's end. He is crying out to God to do something because things have gotten so bad in Judah. And you could hear that in the first couple verses that Habakkuk doesn't think God's listening to him and his cries. So I ask you, have you ever felt this way? Feeling like your world is falling apart and there's evil all around you and it seems like the bad guys always win? God, why aren't you healing my loved one? God, why do you allow evil to happen? God, why don't you just punish those evildoers? God, why does it seem like I'm being punished for doing the right thing? What are you doing, God? Are you ignoring me, God? You know, it's okay to complain to God. It's okay to cry out to God. Because guess what? He can take it. And we can see in God's word, all over God's word, of God's people crying out. For example, in the book of Psalms, listen to David cry out here in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? That's just one example from the book of Psalms. There's all kinds of psalms where the psalmist, usually David, is crying out to God, seeking help, seeking answers. There's the book of Lamentations that Jeremiah wrote, where he is lamenting to God all the problems he's having. It's okay to do that. We can see that here in Habakkuk, of Habakkuk complaining to God. And even our Lord and Savior Jesus cried out to God. Remember when he was on the cross and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because you know what? God did forsake him. His father turned his back on his son who was being brutally killed on that cross because he had you and I on his mind. And that's how we were saved, because of what Jesus went through on the cross for us. And God allowed it on our behalf. You know, complaining and crying out to God does not mean you have a weak faith. It shows that you have a faith that trusts in God and that you are seeking Him for the answers. Because sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? We get frustrated and we may seek for answers in other places. So it's okay to bring those complaints to God. But let's be honest. It can be really tough waiting for the Lord, right? Habakkuk wants instant gratification. And we definitely live in a society of instant gratification, don't we? How many of you can't stand it if you feel your smartphone in your pocket vibrate and you just got to check it? Who's done that already in this service? It's okay, you don't have to raise your hand. But we got to know, don't we? We need that instant gratification. We like next day delivery. We want stuff now. We'll pay more to get something faster. We love that instant gratification. And sometimes we treat God that way. And that's just not how He works. You know, God answers Habakkuk's cries. So that's what this book consists of. It's Habakkuk's complaint, and God answers his first complaint. But guess what? Habakkuk doesn't like the answer. You see, God is going to raise up a people, the Babylonians, who do not fear God, to come in and take them into captivity. That's how God is going to deal with this problem in Judah. Which leads then to Habakkuk's second complaint, because he doesn't like the answer to the first complaint. You know, I think we can probably identify with Habakkuk here. We can get frustrated when we think God is not hearing our pleas, our cries, our complaints. And we can get frustrated when God does answer, and it's just not the way we wanted it to be answered, or it's not in our time frame, right? We can get frustrated. So let's look now at God's answer to Habakkuk's second complaint. Remember, he didn't like the answer to the first complaint. So this is in Habakkuk chapter 2. This first verse here is Habakkuk speaking. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And now here God answers. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. So that first verse there is showing us that Habakkuk is being patient and he's going to look for God's answer and wait for it. And God tells him, God answers again. He says, I am going to act, but you know what, Habakkuk? It's going to be on my time schedule, not yours. You know, waiting for the Lord to act in our lives is an act of faith and hope. And so when you are pleading and crying out to God and wondering what God is doing, why he's not answering your pleas, be comforted with this psalm, Psalm 33. Now, the psalms are a great place to go, by the way. If you are trying to find the words to pray, to go to God, read a psalm. There's lots of examples of God's people crying out to God, questioning God, complaining to God. And listen to what it says here in chapter 33, verses 20 through 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Hope in you. And this hope that we have is wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the one who took on flesh, who became one of us, who became one of the sheep, who lived under God's law, was tempted in every way that you and I are, went through all the experiences that you and I go through here on this earth, the only difference being he never sinned. And then he carried all of those sins to the cross where he died for them. That's the hope you and I have. Because of what Jesus did for us on that cross, we get to go to be with him in heaven forever. That's the ultimate hope that we have. You know, as I mentioned, Habakkuk is only three chapters long. The first two chapters consist of Habakkuk's complaints and God's answers. And the third chapter is a lot different. It's a hymn of praise from Habakkuk. So when you feel like you are at the end of your rope and just can't take anymore, remember a couple weeks ago I showed a picture of a sheep clinging to a cliff and Jesus reaching out his hand. If you ever felt like you were that sheep, it just can't take any more that life has to throw at you. that you just want to give up. Be comforted with the closing words here from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. You see, everything in Habakkuk's world is falling apart. Nothing's going well. And that's what he is saying here. But then verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Rejoice in the Lord. And it says there, I will take joy. And you know what? If you remember Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it talks about the joy of the Lord. Jesus died on that cross for joy. Because we have a Savior who would rather die brutally on that cross for you instead of living in eternity without you. That's how much our Savior loves us. Amen. Let's pray.